Before school closures from the coronavirus pandemic, science classes did a lot of hands-on learning. Now, schools are trying to figure out what of this can be translated during remote learning. NHPR's Sarah Gibson caught up with students and teachers who are discovering the possibilities and limitations of science at home.
Dr. Sue Pike teaches science at the Dover Private School, St. Thomas Aquinas. One of the things she misses the most is seeing all her kids in a classroom peering into microscopes.
One of the favorites is like the pond water ones where we're looking at different species and then doing things with food webs. And they're all looking at microscopes and finding these disgusting worms and things that were in the pond. And people are talking to each other and sharing their ideas.
Sharing ideas in a lab is central to science education. Pike says it's nearly impossible to recreate that magic online.
We're all getting tired of like looking at a screen of faces, oftentimes with just the name, and it's just like talking into the void.
Most of Pike students don't have microscopes at home, but they can still go outside. And that's where some of the most engaging work happens. Recently, Pike asked her students to come up with a question about something they saw in their backyard. Freshman Rory Hatch asks if there's a certain part of his magnolia tree that blooms first, depending on the amount of sun it gets. So they talk it through on a class Zoom call.
So how could you do this? So you've got this tree. And I guess right now it has flowers, or you know that from past?
Well, last year it bloomed, but only two flowers bloomed, and they're on one part of the tree.
Most of these students say there's a perk to remote learning, more time outside. But advanced concepts in science and math classes are way harder to grasp now. Student Ryan Storm says he misses having a teacher look over his shoulder as he's doing calculations.
It's really hard to ask a teacher through like an email or even a video chat because it's like you can't do it with them.
This means teachers can't see in real time where students are getting confused, and that makes it harder to track progress. The story is a bit different for elementary school science. These lessons rely less on high-tech labs and more on simple materials that can often be found at home. April Marsh teaches at a public elementary school in Gorham. She recently assigned the Egg Drop Challenge.
So they were challenged to create some sort of device that would protect a raw egg when it was dropped from various heights.
Students loved it.
This is a lot funner.
Meet fourth grader Andrew Albert. He says all the screen time these days hurts his brain and eyes, but this assignment felt like an adventure.
So I was like thinking, I think I need to research something because I never done this before.
Eventually, Andrew found a solution. His sister helped him make a video for Mrs. Marsh. First, he cuts open a toy rubber ball.
Then I'm gonna put popcorn in it. This is gonna be hard.
Once it's full of popcorn, in goes the egg, which is wrapped in a sock.
For extra protection and so it doesn't explode.
Then he drops it from his deck and takes a video of the results.
And look at that. You got a fresh egg, not even hurt.
Later online, Marsh asks him to explain the physics of it, how energy got transferred, why the egg survived. As far as Marsh is concerned, that was a success. But she says managing expectations for remote learning is a balance.
You know, you give the material the best way that you can, and you hope that they retain the information, but with also the understanding that all of them are in very different environments in their house and have very different levels of support at home.
Take the mold terrarium. Recently, Marsh asked her class to leave a slice of bread in a plastic bag and watch it grow mold. Some told her, we don't have enough food at home. We can't let a slice of bread go to waste. Some families have found remote learning discouraging, but science educators say there are ways to make science fun, even if school at home feels like a drag. Gabby Brott is a coastal science educator with UNH Extension. She has three kids, 10, 8, and 4, and she says the only way they're getting through this is to immerse themselves in the woods.
We're calling them feral children at this point.
Going outside helps Brott and her kids release their pent-up energy, and it gives them a natural lab to poke around and ask questions. This reinforces a basic principle of science.
You ask a question, you try and find the answer. And it can be very simple. It's like, do you hear the birds? Do you hear that song? I wish I knew more about those songs.
The other day, the family used an iPad app to identify newly sprouted spring plants. They stop, take the picture.
And let's see what it says. Dwarf cinquefoil.
Dwarf cinquefoil?
Yeah, and I think it's, it kind of looks like strawberry.
I think it's foil.
Cool.
With the app, Brot uses this little plant to introduce a big concept.
It tells you all of that it belongs to. This is called taxonomy. So it tells you it's from the kingdom Plantae.
When Brot's kids lose focus, they move on to something else. And Brot says that's okay. If you're trying to do home science, it should be short, hands-on, and built off of kids' curiosity in the moment. And if you're not a trained scientist, she says, don't sweat it. Just go outside and start asking questions. Sarah Gibson, NHPR News.